on you. Some of you guys got a bad case of the shakes. I don't know what you're on. All right, here we go. I asked you last night to write down some definition of the call of God, what you felt the call of God was. I just like to read some of the answers. Sort of representative answers, all right? Okay, you guys have to be quiet. Jenny, you guys have to be quiet. Right? Here we go. The call of God, to do as the Lord would have you do in your life. As He directs you in that way, you do as He has planned for you to do. Do as the Lord would have me do, not what I would like to do. Do you know how it's a little bit ambiguous? I mean, I don't know who wrote that answer, but it was a doo-doo answer. The calling of God is what He wants for our lives. There is a special goal for each one of us to reach, and God has a plan for us to fulfill that goal through His love and guidance. Hey, that's pretty heavy. I didn't notice how that paper just fell right down. All right, it means that we might be joint heirs as sons of the living God. He has called us to Himself as a people. We are His body and are living stones to which Christ is all things. He is our I Am. He is all things and everything we need. I wrote that one. Do you like that? That's a good answer. Right. I didn't understand it. It was over my head, but it was a good answer. The call of God is when God calls us out from the world to not only save us from our sins, but also to work in our lives so that when we see Him, we shall be like Him. The calling of God means, to one, that it is a time where God specifically calls you to do something. It is in His will for you to do. Not going out and doing something on your own, but with God backing you all the way. It doesn't have to be big, but to help the body. You guys see something. It means that God calls everyone. First, He calls them to become one of His sons. Second, He calls all of His sons to become or answer a certain position in the body of Christ. Third, many are called, but few are chosen. Thank you, Reverend Soap. He had a poem at the end I didn't read. The calling of God to me, knowing totally that the Lord has a place for me in His work, whatever it is, and knowing in my heart that this is what the Lord wants from me as His servant. The call of God in my life is to do what He wants me to be what He wants me to be, to go where He wants me to go. But right now, I wait. Wait patiently, we're patiently crossed out. I wait for His call in my life. Sometimes it is so hard. I sure wish He'd tell me soon. But I know His timing is perfect. God bless you. The call of God, to be different from the rest of the world, which most of you are, and to be able to go out and witness for God to others. When God asks you to receive this gift of eternal life by becoming born again through Christ, the call of God. It means that God is giving you a chance to be with Him by sharing His name to others and your own profession of Christ. The call of God to me means when He has directed me unto Him to do what He wants. When the Lord has brought me to Him and leads me to do His will. The call of God, when God purposes us, after receiving His Son, into a ministry, job, or a more fulfilling walk with Jesus, Him, in order that the fullness of Christ might be manifested in us to His glory. Woo! That could have been in Ephesians somewhere. Yeah? All right. So, these are some of the answers. Now, remember last night we talked about the calling of God, and we said that the calling of God usually has several different points to it. One is a calling to salvation. One is a calling to a job in the body of Christ, ministry. One is a calling to be holy, and one is a calling to be with Him.
Now, we want to look in Paul's life, as we talked about, and so I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 9,
and we're going to read Paul's testimony of how he became a Christian. Paul was going the wrong way, but became a Christian when God called him. Kevin, would you turn those lights on back? Now, I'm sure that most of you know the background of Paul's life. I will briefly go into it tonight, but I think most of you know the story of Paul pretty well. Acts chapter 9. Okay, I need you to be quiet now, okay? Verse 1, Acts 9. Now Saul, that's Paul, that's his old name, Paul, Saul is his old name. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, that means to the Christian, both men and women, he might bring them in chains to Jerusalem. And it came about that as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? There's the call right there. And Saul said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. The men who traveled with Paul stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. And Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. We will read more of that later on, but I want you to listen to this for a second. What was Paul like? Does anybody know what Paul looked like? There's a very interesting passage that was written in a book that was written about 150 years A.D. It was a book called The Acts of Paul and Thecla. And it was supposed to be written like the life and events of the Apostle Paul and this woman named Thecla, who was a famous martyr in the early church. And although the book is fictitious, that is, it tells stories about Paul that he really didn't do, it gives a description of Paul. And here it is. I wrote it down from this book. This is the way they describe him. Now, the thing about this is, this book was written in about 150 A.D., where there'd still be some people around who may have either seen Paul or at least had heard about him. And so there's reason to believe that somewhere in this description, you get an idea of what Paul looked like. And it's just a short verse. But here's what it says. They saw Paul coming, of a low stature, and he was short, bald on the head, crooked thighs, handsome legs, show them off. He was hollow eyes. I don't know quite what that means, hollow eyes.
And he has eyes.
I guess that's probably it. He had a crooked nose, and it said he was full of grace, for sometimes he appeared as a man. Sometimes he had the countenance of an angel. Now, although we don't know if that's a true description of Paul, it could have been. Paul was a Jewish man. According to this, had a crooked nose, crooked legs, and yet he had a certain strength about him. Now, certainly we know that Paul had a strong personality. Paul said, when I was young, I was studying with other men who were going to go into sort of the ministry of the Jewish church. And he said, I did better than most of them. He studied the Bible, that is the Old Testament, and he studied with great teacher, like Gamaliel, who was a great teacher in those days. He was really strong personality. You know, like when he decided he was going to do something, he did it. He was really strong. Now, let me ask you a question. What was Paul's problem? Now, obviously, Paul was whacked out of his head. Because Paul was going around and he was chaining up Christians and bringing them to Jerusalem where they were beating them and doing all kinds of things. And Paul was also there when Stephen got stoned. You know, Stephen was a beautiful Christian. He had a smile on his face. He had power in his words. And he performed great miracles. And Stephen preached one day, and they stoned him to death, and Paul was standing right there yelling, "Kill him! Kill him!" What was the matter with Paul? Somebody just... But what do you think? I mean, obviously he was a religious fanatic, but I mean, what was down inside of him? What was wrong in there? I mean, I know we can't really psychologize on Paul, but some of you got any ideas? Well, Satan. I guess indirectly we could say Satan just kind of had control of his life. But let's hear a little bit more. All right, Sarah Robert. You know, have you ever noticed that sometimes when somebody actually kind of doubts something, they get more zealous on the outside? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, sometimes people, when they're not sure about what they believe in anymore, they act twice as zealous. Oh yeah, you got to believe that, and you know, they don't really believe, you know, they have a trouble inside. Maybe that's part of it, Robert. Either he was empty inside, and he was feeling, so what is all this stuff? I've learned all the Jewish laws, and I've learned all this stuff. Is there something that's not real? I don't know. What else do you think? Well, now, I tell you what, before we move on, Robert, let's turn to Galatians chapter 1, just to look at one verse that I think mentions something that Robert brought up. In chapter 1, verse 14. In Galatians 1, 14, somebody read that for me, okay? How about you right there? Okay. John, how about, can any guys find it? All right. Friends, you got it? Galatians, chapter 1. Galatians. Galatians. All right, hold it. All right, keep it down. Grace, how about me? Verse 14.
And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being extremely zealous for my ancestral tradition.
He said he was extremely zealous for his ancestral tradition. He was trying to keep up the appearance, the traditions that he had handed down by the Jewish nation. He was really zealous. Can you tell me anything else you think might have been wrong inside? Let me ask you a question. Why would an intelligent man be so zealous that he would even go around murdering or certainly torturing people? I mean, what's wrong with somebody like that? Okay. Is it Chris?
Yeah.
Okay, Chris.
Any guy would start to convict his heart.
You hear what he said? He said that because Paul might have been under conviction and God was speaking to him and he was lashing back. What do you think? Do you know when Paul really got zealous? After Stephen was stoned. Paul went for a serve. Decided to go around and get more Christians and bind them up. Anything else? All right, again. Why would somebody be super religious? Because they might think, you, huh?
Well, I thought that he thought he was doing
it out of faith. Underneath it all, when somebody acts like that, they think that somehow they're going to gain the approval of God by doing it. If I am super zealous, God's going to love me. I mean, if I go around killing Christians, the Jewish God's going to love me. And he must have thought, you know, I could get acceptance that way if I just really am Superman. That maybe then I can be accepted.
Because Paul knew the law well enough to know that, hey, he was a sinner. He just couldn't possibly keep the law. So there was Paul. When we see him in this Acts chapter 9, he's on the road to Damascus. He's bound by hatred and prejudice. I mean, he is going down the wrong road. Paul, this young man, maybe in his 20s, is going down a deadly path of destruction, becoming a murderer, becoming an insane religious fanatic. This guy was going off the deep end. And it's in Acts chapter 9 that we see how God saved Paul. And you know how he did it? He saved Paul by dropping him dead in his tracks and getting him to stop going down that insane, suicidal road. And so we have in Acts chapter 9, in verse 3, it came about that as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light flashed from heaven. And he fell to the ground under the power of the light. The light was so powerful, they knocked him right off his horse. Right down on the ground. And then he heard God call. Now you remember last night we said this, and I swear to you, brothers and sisters, if God can't speak to you and I, then we have a false religion. The call of God means God wants to speak to each individual Christian. Now, Paul, God spoke to Paul in an unusual way, and he was an unusual man, and I'm not saying you've got to be knocked off your horse, but God does want to speak to you. I mean speak to you. Not speak to you indirectly, or speak to you just kind of, in some sort of subtle way. God wants to really speak personally to you. That's the call of God. And Paul heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now this is the call of God. God was dropping him down in his tracks and trying to help Paul to see what he was doing wrong. Now let me ask you a question. Paul says in verse 5, "Who art thou, Lord?" Let me ask them. Maybe Paul was 22 years old, let's just say. Do you think he had ever had an experience like this before in his religion? I mean, he studied and he prayed, but do you think he'd ever had an experience like this? I mean, to get knocked off, fall on the ground, and he hears a voice speaking from heaven. No, huh? Well, then let me ask you another question. If he has never had an experience like this before, how come when the voice says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" How come he says, "Who art the Lord?" Why does he say that? That means, who are you, God? How does he know to say that? Can somebody give me a reason? Hi, Robert. Well, I think that kind of explains it. But let me give you one other thing, too. Paul had studied in the Old Testament how God came down sometimes. He came down on Mount Sinai. He came down on the tabernacle. He came down on the temple. And you know what happened when God came down? Although it had never happened to Paul, he read that when God came down sometimes, he came down in a powerful light. It came down and boom. It says when God came down on the temple, there was so much glory there that the men couldn't even go in the temple. Same thing happened with the tabernacle. And when God came down on Mount Sinai, there was so much power there that immediately when Paul felt this power, this light, he knew it was God. So he said, but he heard this voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "Well, who are you, Lord? I hear you calling." For the first time Paul heard him calling. Now let me ask you a question. How come Paul hadn't heard God calling before? Do you think God tried to call Paul before this? Huh? All right. How come Paul didn't hear him? That sin in his life? All right, that's one way of putting it. Lucy, what do you think?
Well, he didn't have the ears to hear, and he saw
His heart wasn't open to hear what God was saying. Why is that?
He was so stubborn in his fanaticism. He was going to do his own thing, and he just wasn't listening.
Now, you know, God really calls a lot of people. But a lot of times, people's hearts are so hard that, that is, they've already decided what they're going to do. They just don't listen. This day, God knocked him off his horse, dropped him in his tracks, and said, "Now, Saul, you're going to listen to me. You're going on a deadly track the wrong way. I tell you, Saul, you don't realize this, but when you've been going around persecuting Christians, you've been bothering me." God said, "Saul, Saul, why are you hassling me? You're not just dealing with some people. Look, you're messing with me," God said. Now, this Paul really wanted... Paul was afraid of God. Paul believed in God. And when you have God talking to you saying, "Hey, you're messing with me," Paul started shaking. And Paul said, "Well, who are you? I mean, who's talking?" And the answer absolutely bombed out everything in Paul's life. Everything. When that voice came back and said, if it had said, "I am Jehovah from Mount Sinai who gave the Ten Commandments," Paul would have just shook and said, "Oh God, I'm sorry." But the voice said something worse than that. The voice said, "I am Jesus." You know? The one that you've been running around persecuting? You know, the one you've been stoning? You know, the one you've been hassling? That's me talking to you out of heaven with heavenly light and heavenly power and divine power. And when Paul heard, "I am Jesus," you know what happened to him? Everything he was doing in his life, all his eggs were in one basket. He was a fanatic who was going to persecute Christians and become a great Jewish leader by doing it. All the whole life just died right in front of him. And you know what Paul said at that point? The first same thing Paul had probably said in a couple of years. He said, "Lord, what do I do now? My whole life has been going in the wrong direction. Okay, I see it. You called my attention to it. What do I do now?" And you know what it says? God said, Jesus said, "Paul, get up and go into Damascus and wait, and I'll give you more instruction." Now, remember last night I said that the call of God talks about so many things, but here is the first part of the call of God. God calls us to salvation. That means God calls us out of the wrong path that we're on. How many of you know what the Greek word ekklesia means? It means church. But do you know what ekklesia means, the Greek? Anybody here? It comes from two words, ek and kaleo. It means called out. And the first part of the call of God is that you get called out. God takes you and says, "You know, you've been on an ego trip, and you've been going to school, and you think you're a pretty cool dude, you get pretty good grades, you're pretty popular, you're going in this direction, now I'm calling you out." Or maybe you're into drugs or something like that, God says, "I'm calling you out." Or maybe you're into the world of sports. You know, you're just a sports freak. All you eat, talk, sleep, think is sports. You know, you have time to pray, to nothing, be with your family. It's all sports. But God says, "I'm calling you out." It doesn't matter really what you're a fanatic about. When God calls you, he says, "Now, you know, you're into some kind of a trip that's deadly." In a way like Paul, "I'm calling you out." Thank God he calls us out. Hey, God's a loving God, even when he has to deal sometimes kind of tough. I don't believe anybody here was knocked off their horse and saw a blinding light and got up blind. But I do thank God that I know that many of you, somewhere along the line, God came and said, "Now, Robert, I'm calling you out. Or Dana, I'm calling you out." And the first thing God does when he calls is, he calls us out. For our own good, he saves us. Now, how come God called Paul? How come God called Paul? Okay, Trey. God called Paul because he'd chosen Paul. Can you tell me where that is in the Bible?
How do we know God chose Paul? Maybe Paul chose Paul. All right, hold. Tracy has just found. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. Would you just turn in? Oh, and Acts 9. Oh, yeah. That's right. Is that what you were going to read? Acts 9, 15?
Hey.
Okay, go ahead. Read Acts 9, 15. Okay, God has chosen him as a vessel. Also, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, that also says, you got Galatians 1? 2. Bob, you got it?
Yes. But when he was set me apart, even from the mother's womb, and called me to this grace of faith.
Okay, listen. But when he who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb. And what does Paul mean like from that? From the time that I was conceived, God set me apart. He chose me. And then at the right time, he called me. And when did he call Paul? When he was down in the pit, going to hell, really on the wrong track, destroyed himself, God called me. Would you just turn to Romans chapter 8? I just want to show you one thing about this thing of choosing. I know sometimes the thing's kind of hard to understand, but in Romans 8, you know verse 28. You know, we know that all things work together for good. But let's look at that verse again. Romans 8, 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called. There it is again. According to his purpose. Now verse 29 and 30. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Whom he predestined, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. That's a lot of words. But let me just explain something. This is the best I can understand. How come God chose Paul? According to this verse, verse 29, the first thing is God foreknew. Now, you know what foreknew means? That means God knows beforehand what's going to happen. God knows what's going to happen to Paul. God knows Paul's going to turn to him. God knows Paul's going to be a faithful servant. God knows Paul's a sinner. God knows, and knowing this, that when God gives him opportunity, he's going to respond and everything, therefore God chooses. Paul's going to be shaped into Jesus. He's going to be part of the body of Christ, and he's going to be conformed into the image of Jesus. So it says that God foreknew, and then God predestined, and then God called. Now, when did God foreknow about Paul? What year? God foreknew about Paul and what he was going to do in infinity B.C. Now, when did God predestine that Paul was going to be shaped into the image of Jesus, his Son? What year? Infinity B.C. Now, when did God call Paul? Infinity. No, not infinity. When did God call Paul? Before the world began? It was, a lot of people think 37 A.D. Make it 40 A.D. God called Paul in history, but God already foreknew and predestined and chose him, and then he called him in 40 A.D. Because, of course, that's when Paul was alive. The verse goes on to say, whom he chose, he calls, then he justifies him. He says, now I called you, now your sins are forgiven. And whom he justifies, he glorifies. That is, he shapes Paul into the image of Jesus. Oh, that's a wonderful concept. But it all goes back to the fact that God knows exactly what we're going to do. And you know, brothers and sisters, God knows what you're going to do, too. Some of you are going to be faithful servants of God. Thank God for that. Some of you are going to turn from God. And God knows. And God bases his choosing and his calling upon what he knows. Just as was the case in Paul's life.
Now, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? God says, you'll go into Damascus and wait, and then I'll tell you what to do. So go back to Acts chapter 9. And we pick up in verse 11. The story continues. God already called Paul once and said, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? That God spoke to him. Now God speaks to him a second time. It says in verse 11, the Lord said to Ananias, a brother in Christ, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. God knows. And verse 12, he says, God gave Paul something while Paul was praying. He said, he has seen in a vision a man called Ananias. And guess who's going to come to him? Ananias. Ananias says, but Lord, we know that Paul is really an evil man. God says, Ananias, I already chose him. And I chose you to go see him. Ananias says, oh, no. But Ananias goes over there. And it says, verse 15, when Ananias argues with God, says, oh, he says, I've heard all about him. Verse 15, the Lord said, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house. After laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scale, and he regained his sight, and he arose and was baptized. He took food and was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. And all those hearing him continued to be amazed, saying, this is the man who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on his name, and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests. But Paul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now this, remember I said that when you hear the call of God, sometimes you hear more than just a call to be saved. And what did Paul hear? Paul heard the calling to preach Jesus. And he had only been saved a few days, and he was already in the synagogue. He was preaching. So Jesus is the Messiah. And everybody says, hey, this guy's Jesus. And so he got out the Old Testament scrolls and read Isaiah and read Jeremiah and read Deuteronomy. And they say, see, he's the Messiah. The more Paul did, the stronger he got. Because he also heard the call, serve God, too. At the same time he heard this call to be saved. Thank God, when Paul got saved, he really got switched around. But it all goes back. I'm going to end now, and I want you to listen to this. It all goes back to the fact that God spoke to Paul. Now, God doesn't expect you to do the impossible. And before you could ever minister in anything like Paul, who here could ever be like Paul? But before we could ever minister faithfully, can I tell you something? You need to hear God speak. If you've got a second-hand religion tonight, it's not going to cut the ice. When you try to be faithful, and you go to college, and you want to be faithful, I tell you what, if you haven't heard God speak, you're going to have a real hard time. And when you get married, you know, you might say, oh, I'm going to marry a Christian man or something, it'd be great. But when you get married and go through the problems that people go through when they get married, and if you haven't heard God speak, you're going to have trouble with your marriage. All I'm saying is, brothers and sisters, God wants to speak to each one of you personally. But what's got to happen is, you've got to open your heart and not be so stubborn to say, I am going to do what I want to do, because that's what Paul did, and it shut God out of Paul's life for years. I don't know what the timing is or how God's going to call you. And I feel, knowing some of you, that God has called some of you already in a clear way. But this mysterious, deep call of God you spoke about last night has to come to your life if you're going to be a real disciple of Jesus.
I thank God for my brother Paul. Because Paul put up with beatings and stonings and shipwreckings and all kinds of persecution. And one of the reasons was, he'd heard from God. If you guys really were like John Denver in that movie, Oh God, and you really had heard from God, I tell you, you'd be different right now. You'd be going around and saying, listen, I heard him speak. And everybody said, oh yeah, this guy just is none of his fault. But in this day, brothers and sisters, we need a God who speaks. And we've got to open our hearts before they hear firsthand what God's got for us. Now, can I tell you just a little history? On the road to Damascus, God spoke to Paul, voice to voice. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Paul heard that voice. But you know something? The people around him heard a noise, but they didn't hear the voice. That's mysterious. And then when Paul was there in Damascus waiting for God, do you know how God spoke to him the next time? In a vision. It wasn't the voice saying, Paul, there's going to be a man coming named Ananias. No, but as Paul was praying and fasting, he saw a vision of a man coming with a t-shirt saying Ananias. No, I don't know. But anyway, he knew the guy's name was going to be Ananias. And you know the way God spoke to him the third time? God actually spoke to him the third time. You know how in that story? Through Ananias. But you know, Paul's heart was so open that when Ananias came and said, Paul, God has told me to come here and pray for you. And you know what? Ananias says, this is from God. This is God speaking to me. And Ananias spoke to Paul and said, God sent me to bring you and receive your sight. And he prayed and Paul received the sight. Why? Because his heart was open. He said, this is God speaking. You know something? In the mystery of God, sometimes God speaks to you through somebody else. If you listen. I just pray that you guys won't be normal. That as Christians, you guys will be able to say, I have heard God speak. I have been saved. God pulled me out of the wrong road. I have been saved by Jesus Christ. And God has given me work to do. God has told me to be holy. He spoke to me himself. Brothers and sisters, this is the way, the truth, and the life. Father, I just pray that you will call your children to yourself. I know many here have received you by faith, have sensed within them deeply that call to repentance, that call to accept you as their Lord and Savior. And yet, even now, Lord, even though they have accepted you, they have grown hard in their hearts and do not hear your call. But Lord, just like you broke into Paul's life and called him while he was in sin and while he was closed-hearted, oh God, I pray if you need to even break into our lives and speak to us, or else we might go through the barricade and right off the edge. Help us, God. Lord, I just pray that there wouldn't be anybody in this room who would not hear Jesus calling and saying, Karen, Karen, when will you come to me? Oh, Lord, I pray that you'll speak personally and that your children, those you have chosen, will open their hearts to hear your voice. What a wonderful God we serve. It is true, even like that silly song in Samuel, Lord, it is true that you want to speak to your people. Oh, God, open our ears so we can hear. Please help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just sing He is Lord together? Amen.
He is Lord.